Hey, what's up, Men of Valor? Welcome back to the Men of Valor podcast. Here we are, right in the middle. If you're listening to this, we're recording, we're right in the middle of April 2024, season two, episode 30 of the Men of Valor podcast. And we're just excited, as always, to have you guys here. We're just so thankful for each and every one of you, man. Each and every week you show up, you listen, you share. And I shared this on our community. I shared it on our social media yesterday. But as of right now, where we're at, and we just want to give kudos to you guys, because it's because of you that we see statistics like this. But the Men of Valor podcast, we've reached over 33 countries and territories in over 1,300 cities. And that's all just because of you guys sharing, giving us ratings and reviews, all that. Like I said, it's not to boast us or boast our ministry, but when you do that, those algorithms, man, it puts us in front of more men to help us impact them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I just want to take a moment as we're kicking off to say thank you guys so much for joining us. Hey, if you missed last week's episode, we had our executive team. We were up in North Carolina, just had our yearly planning meeting. If you want to go back, we kind of done a state of the ministry address last week and just kind of talked about where Men of Valor Ministries is. And so go check that out if you missed it last week. Just had some great conversation with the guys and shared a little bit about what we feel God has got coming up. But hey, today I got a special guest with me here. I'm going to give him a little intro, then I'm going to turn it over and let you hear from him today. But today I have with me Dustin Alley. He is the founder of the Men After God podcast. He is also a lead pastor, something me and him have in common. We both pastor a Liberty Baptist church. He's all the way up in Bristol, Connecticut. I'm down here, of course, in Lula, Georgia. But man, just God has intervened and just kind of connected. Honestly, I'm sitting here thinking, Dustin, I don't even know how we kind of, our paths crossed, except for God just crossed us with some other connections, I guess. But man, it's good to have Dustin here. We're going to be having a conversation after the break on our topic for the week. But man, I just want to just turn it over to you, Dustin. Man, welcome to the podcast. We'd love for you just, man, share a little about who Dustin Alley is. Let our guys meet you and just tell us a little bit about yourself. But welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. I really appreciate it, man. And to the audience listening, man, great job on sharing and liking the podcast, leaving reviews. Keep that stuff up. That's phenomenal. There needs to be more Christian men voices in front of men in general. And I know the Men of Valor Ministries just got a great thing going here. I'm excited to have met you and looking forward to even get to meet you in person later this year. Yeah. But yeah, to everyone, my name is Dustin. I graduated from high school in 2006. I did 9 years in the Marine Corps as an air traffic controller. God called me to ministry, served as an assistant pastor for 3.5 years in Arizona and a youth pastor there. And youth ministry is always fun. Absolutely enjoyed that. And then after that, God called me to a lead pastor position and opened the doors for us to move to Bristol, Connecticut in 2019. And since then, God has just been on the move. It's been wonderful to see our church become very outreach oriented and to be reaching people for Christ. And then in the last couple of years, God did a work in my heart to get a message out there to men. And, you know, I never would have thought I'd be in this position even 2 years ago. But what happened was a 6-month time period where I think I was like many of you. I was trying to do so much for God and accomplish so much. Man, I hit a wall and I almost passed out of my house. My wife was there. I was thankful for her being there and I had to see a doctor. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But that ultimately led to, after a time of reflection, prayer, and a spiritual mentor, led to the content you see that's in the book you see behind me here called Becoming a Man After God, How to Achieve Success with a Thriving Faith and Family. And that statement there, oftentimes we get hung up on what success is and leads into some of what the topic's about today. Success is not the great achievements that you can have. It's about how faithfully obedient you are to what God wants to give you. And when we do that, it changes our lives. And my life's been radically transformed by living by this and just seeing it played out. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But we have got a message we want to share for guys to be able to live their lives in such a way they're faithfully obedient to Jesus with a strong faith and a strong family. And so this book comes out May 1st. It's available on Amazon. You can pre-order it on Kindle right now. 10 chapters. You can use it with a men's group and different things of that nature. We've got a study guide coming out later this year. We're shooting videos for the life group study. And we're just excited about what God's doing with Men after God. And I'm even more excited about the connections we're making, especially here with you guys over at Men of Valor, because I love your content. I love what you're doing. And I'm just thankful to be at the table having the conversation, man. Appreciate the opportunity.
Amen. And we're just pumped that God has crossed our paths. Lord willing, Dustin is going to be with us at Men of Valor Conference down there, coming down and being a part of the conference this year. So hopefully
getting
you
down
guys,
there in God's country, man. I can't wait.
That's Let me right. Come you, on. Come
New,
on.
That, New, come. New England's got some beauty, but them Appalachian Mountains, brother. Oh, there's nothing better.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, there's some beautiful views. If you've never been up to Black Mountain, you can walk up, actually, at Ridgecrest. We usually walk it every year up to Rattlesnake Trail, up to a viewpoint up at the top of the mountain. Just beautiful. We have a lot of guys go up there and catch the sunrise while they're there with us, and just beautiful. But, man, we're pumped to have you with us today. And like you said, man, it's amazing, guys. When I asked Dustin, me and him was talking the other day, I said, hey, man, you got anything on the topic we're going to be talking about? And he was like, yeah, man, I've kind of got a story with that. And then when he was talking on the intro just a while ago about some of his book actually points to that. So just a God-ordained, I believe, time Amen. For us to have this conversation together today. So, guys, I mean, we're glad to have Dustin here. We're glad that you're here. But, hey, we got nothing left to do, but let's get after it.
This is the Men of Valor podcast. We exist to help men grow as disciples of Jesus.
Welcome to Season 2. We're glad you're here.
Let me tell you, I once was a sinner, but I am no longer a sinner. I am a saint. I am a son of the living God Most High.
Go home, embrace your wife with no expectations, and tell her that you love her. And ask her, how can I lead you? Tell me what you need. Be transparent, be open, be honest.
But if we arm ourselves and we never use what we have, that's useless.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Here are your hosts, Travis Watson, Eric Stewart, Jordan Loggins, and Randall Ballew. Let's get after it. All right, guys, welcome back. Hey, we're just going to jump right in. As most of you know, if you've been following along, the month of April, we have been talking about the emotional warfare has kind of been our topic for the month. And we've already covered the topic of anger, had a great conversation that week. And then we also talked about anxiety, which is very close and ties into what we're going to be talking about today. And what we're going to be talking about is something that's dear to my heart as a pastor. I have dealt with this personally and maybe share a little bit of my story, but I want to hear Dustin's story. And I really believe, because a lot of you guys know my story through it, but we're going to be talking about today the emotional warfare of depression. And just wanted to share a couple of statistics that I pulled up as I was getting ready for this. Just to share with you guys, because it is a major issue that I believe a lot of us deal with. I believe a lot of men deal with it, that they don't even realize they're dealing with it. I know, Dustin, until I really hit my wall where I was, I'll never forget it. I was sitting in my boys, they were at school, and I was sitting in their room on the floor, crisscross applesauce, just sitting there squalling like a baby. And my bride was like, what's wrong? And I was just to a point, I was really to that point where I just, I don't know. I mean, I was just broken and I'd hit a wall. But a couple statistics. The World Health Organization says that 280 million people worldwide have depression, including 5% of adults and 5.7% of adults above the age of 60, which really, man, just opened my eyes, because I know our kind of our target audience here at Men of Valor is that from 30-something in the 60-something men is usually kind of, that's what our community's built of. So just to know that it even increases sometimes as we get older was kind of an eye-opener to me. The National Institute of Mental Health says that 21 million Americans experienced a major depressive episode in 2021. I think that, I mean, that was just right after, right, you know, 2020. We all know about that, and we could go and talk about 2020 for a while.
Yeah. Well, let's move past that conversation.
Yeah. So, but just in 2021 alone, the 21 million just in America experienced a major, now this is just not minor, it says a major depressive episode in 2021. So, man, statistics like that should open our eyes. But we know that, guys, we're going to take all this back here in just a little bit after we hear Dustin's story, because we always want to say, what does God's word say about what we're talking about? Because I can give you my opinion. Yeah. Dustin can give you your opinion. You got two pastors, so we can have a lot of opinions on a lot of things.
Absolutely.
But we always want to go back to God's word, because we know that there's nothing I can say that'll change your life. Nothing Dustin can say that'll really change your life. But the word of God can change your life. Mm-hmm. And there is help in a time of need. One thing I was looking at, scripture outside of the NLT, the New Living Translation, no other translation that I've seen actually use the word depression. The NLT does, but there are words we see like sad, downcast, discouraged, downhearted, mourning, troubled, despairing, brokenhearted. All of those emotions that we see in scripture can be associated with this word that we have in today that's called depression. You even go into characters in scripture. We see signs of depression. And I'm just going to name a few, but there's so many more, Dustin. I believe we really want to dig in. But you could look at Hagar, Moses, Naomi, Hannah, Saul, David, Solomon, Elijah, Nehemiah, Job, Jeremiah. You get over in the New Testament, even John the Baptist, and also Judas, and of course, the Apostle Paul, that a lot of times, you know, we look at his strengths because there's so many of them. But there were those times that even the Apostle Paul had those moments. So, guys, we just want to let you know a couple of things. Number one, you are not alone if you're listening to this podcast.
No, not at all.
You're dealing with it. Because this is what I believe the enemy uses a lot, Dustin, with depression, and it's shame. Well, what's people going to think? I know me as a pastor, when I first said, man, what's people going to think? I'm the spiritual leader of a local congregation, and I'm supposed to be the strong guy. I'm supposed to be guy out front that don't struggle. But just a reminder that no matter who you are, no matter your title or what you're dealing with, that, hey, if you're dealing with this, that you are loved, there is help, there is hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. But don't listen to the lies of the enemy and the shame. So, Dustin, man, I'm just going to hush for a little bit and just let you, man, just share your story. Man, share where you were, where God's brought you, and whatever God lays on your heart to share. And I may jump in here and there with some follow-up questions as we go through it. But, man, the mic is yours. And, man, just let you minister to our men for a little bit.
Brother, you just gave the mic to a pastor and a podcaster. I'm not going to shut up. All right? So you're just going to have to make me, okay? No, hey, guys. So listen, what Eric's talking about, you're not alone. You're not alone. That's the worst thought you can have. It's exactly what led Elijah to his place of saying, Lord, take my life. I'm alone. There's no one else. This is just me. I'm the only one dealing with this. I'm the only one standing. I'm the only one taking part in this. And he says, no, look, I've preserved all these other people. You know what you need to do? Shut up, take a nap, and eat a bite. Get some rest. So, guys, my story really starts, the one I mentioned in our intro about the book, that's one piece of it. But my mental health journey started probably actually like January to March 2021. In 2019, my family and I moved to Bristol, Connecticut from Yuma, Arizona, one of the sunniest cities in America. And when we moved up here, people talked to us about, oh, hey, you're going to have all four seasons. It's going to be great. There's a little culture shock, because if you've never been to New England, New Englanders are, well, they're New Englanders. And we'll just leave it at that. I love every one of them, but they're from New England. So anyways, so you get up here and we moved in the summertime. It's beautiful. And then fall comes. Let me tell you guys, a New England fall, I get it. I grew up in Northeast Tennessee, the Great Smoky Mountains. There, it's beautiful. But a New England fall is just... it's a sight to behold. It's truly a beauty of God's creation. But then you get into that next season, wintertime, where the leaves are gone. It's freezing cold. It's snowing. It's dark at 4 p.m. And I don't mean, Eric, I don't mean like the sun is setting on the horizon. No, I mean, there are days, a period of time there in late December, like 4 to 4:30, pitch black dark. And you know, it gets depressing, and you have to, I wasn't ready for that. And so here I am, a new pastor, 2019, 2020 timeframe. This is even, you know, pre-COVID. So I have to deal with that. And then COVID happens. And I think that just had to focus so much on what needed to be done there. Anything that was going on with me emotionally coming out of that wintertime, like, it didn't matter. I suppressed it and I moved forward. And then 2020, 2021 timeframe, it was that spring or late winter 2021. I remember being outside. I haven't told this story before. I was outside shoveling snow. Now, I had back surgery in 2017. So doing stuff like that, it not only causes pain and stuff, when I get in pain, maybe I'm like some of you guys, if I'm in pain, I'm angry and I'm irritable and like, I don't want to talk to anyone. And if there's something I don't want to do, I really don't want to do it. We had snowblowed and everything. And my wife, my loving wife, very kind, I think, was saying, hey, we need to shovel the stairs. Like, we don't use the stairs. We go in through the garage. We don't need to shovel them. She's like, no, we need to shovel them. I'm like, all right, fine, let's do it. So I get my son out there and I'm shoveling and I'm just in a bad place. Best way I know to say it. I'm in a bad place. And I'm in a shoveling and stuff. And my son does something and I lost it.
Yeah.
And I end up like raising my voice and I threw my shovel off to the side. And like the story you shared, man, I walked into the house. I sat down on our sitting room couch. I put my hands on it. I said, what am I doing? I can't do this. What's wrong? And I had the same answer. Like, I don't know, but whatever it is, I don't like it. I've got to figure something out. And then I did what many men have a problem doing. And honestly, at first I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. That's another. I went to a therapist. I found a therapist and I went and talked to him and things. And things got better, right? Things got better. I found a coach. Man, that was transformative for me to get a coach and to work with me through growth, my own personal growth and growing in the Lord and what he's called me to do. And then, so then we get into 2022. And man, that was where you would have never known anything was wrong with me emotionally because I was getting so much done.
Yeah.
In 6 months, the last 6 months of 2022, pastor, husband of Sarah, father of three wonderful kids that are involved in sports. Okay. I'd started my doctoral program with Liberty University. I was teaching New Testament survey for my alma mater. And that semester they said, hey, we got so many students, you got to have two classes. I'm like, oh yeah, I could do it. It's the same material. Not a big deal. I accepted a teaching position at a local Christian school for 11th and 12th grade boys Bible Monday through Wednesday. I'm a certified Maxwell team member, speaker, coach, and trainer. And so I had a contract with Bristol Boys and Girls Club with their executive team to do leadership development on Thursday mornings from 8 to 9. I was working with a ministry network to develop a coaching and cares program that was launching that January at their big summit in 2023. I had a digital marketing company I had started and was doing a little bit of work with, but not too much. And, we'd hired an intern at our church that summer and, I was training him and working with him in ministry. And that summer was actually a really great summer for me because I had started working out. I'd started eating right. I was working with a nutrition and training coach and I was really getting to a good place. I was enjoying the benefits of all that. And then when school started, my own school, teaching at the school, teaching online, all this stuff, I cut that out. I didn't have time to go to the gym. I didn't have time to eat right, meal prep, or do anything. I was just constantly grinding. And I was doing it all for God. This is what God called me to do, right? I'm a pastor. I'm a speaker. I do all this stuff. But that December is when I about passed out of my house. That December is when I was emotionally numb. Depression has many different symptoms. And dependent upon your predisposition how you'll see those play out. Anger and irritability, having a quick temper can all be from being in a depressive state. Maybe you're not in a full-on depression for a long period of time, but you're experiencing a depressive state. And how do we come out of that? And Eric, this is where the conversation might go a little differently. But so if you want to stay on your story or talk about more about that, how you got into that depressive state, we can. But I want to bring up that statistic that I told you about that is in my book in our chapter on developing yourself.
Yeah.
Oftentimes we talk about developing yourself. We're only really thinking about how we're going to develop ourselves for our career.
Yeah.
Right. How am I going to grow into be more productive? But last time I checked, the Bible says we're mind, body, and spirit.
That's right.
And we're to serve the Lord with all those. Mm-hmm. So if I'm to develop myself to the glory of God, I've got to develop myself in all of these areas. And so there was a study done, and I'm looking for the reference. I had it marked and I lost it, but there was a study done in Harvard, I believe it was.
Yeah.
But they went and found that there's a 50-40-10 rule when it comes to your happiness. There it is. It was in 2005. There were three researchers that did this, and they defined happiness with a 50-40-10 formula. They found that 50% of our happiness is from our genetic predisposition. 40% is from intentional activity. And 10% is life circumstances. But which one of those do we actually allow to impact 100% of our lives? If I had to guess, I would say you allow your life circumstances to impact your life because you're not dealing with the thing that you can actually change, which is not your genetic predisposition, but it's that 40% of intentional activity. And being intentional to not be depressed. Now listen, guys. I'm not saying depression doesn't exist. I'm not saying there's not a time for you to talk to a health professional about medication. I'm not a doctor. I'm not saying that. I am saying, and this is based on the Word of God, I believe that there is a way of living your life according to Scripture so that you're not experiencing it to the degree that many do.
Yeah.
And that comes with that intentional living.
Yeah. Well, so, I think right there, Dustin, that we got to remember, like you said, man, it's spirit, it's body, it's mind, it's emotional, all these different things. And it goes back to how many times do we see in the Word of God where it talks about in everything, right? It don't say in some things. First verse that came to my mind was 2 Timothy 4:5, where it says, but as for you, exercise self-control in everything, endure hardship, do the work of evangelists, and fulfill your ministry. And I think that verse just builds on one another, because at the end, you know, here Paul is telling Timothy to fulfill your ministry, but he starts off with, as for you, he makes it personal, right? He says, in everything, exercise self-control. And totally agree with you, Dustin, that we're not saying, and we'll go ahead and say this, we are not mental experts. We don't have degrees in this what we're talking about. But what we can tell you guys is, listen, they are things that God's Word teaches us to help us prevent, like Dustin said, because this is what we know, right? That the enemy will take those thoughts, will take anything we give him, and that's all he has access to us as believers, is what we allow him to have. But if we allow him to start expanding the thoughts that are coming into our mind, where we know Scripture takes us to take every thought captive, but then what we do with it determines our next steps. And guys, so what Dustin is talking about and what we're talking about here is there are ways for you to prevent. I know my story, Dustin, and I don't know how yours is, but now looking back, my wall I hit was in May of 2022. And to me, it seemed like it come out of nowhere. Because I mean, it was just like it was like somebody just flipped a switch. It wasn't like the week before I was getting lower and lower. It was just like all of a sudden I just hit, literally, you hear the saying, I hit a wall. It was like I run slap 60 miles an hour. I'm like you. I have guys tell me all the time, you need to slow down. You need to slow down. It's just the way I'm built, man. I'm built to go. I'm built to do. My executive team, I'll call him out right here. Randall Blue has told me this just this week, because I've been Marco Poloing them. I've been Marco Poloing him with some ideas, and he's like, dude, slow down. I mean, but it's just the way I'm built. I get something on my heart. I get something on my mind. I want to go with it. And because I don't know, I think we're built a lot the same, Dustin. I'm an all-in guy. I'm either all in or I'm not in. And if I jump on an idea, or if I'm part of a ministry or whatever it is, man, I'm all in. I'm here to do everything I can do to help, you know, make an impact for the kingdom, to make it successful. But I think where we have to be, just like 2 Timothy 4:5 tells us, that I have to exercise self-control in everything. That goes to our diet. That goes with our physical. Because I think that's the first thing, especially for men, just like you said in your story. And I can say my story is the same, Dustin. There for a long time, we've both been, you've taken on a SoulCon challenge. I was part of SoulCon, and it teaches, you know, physical, mental, spiritual. And man, 2017 is when I was introduced to SoulCon and started really getting in it. But I got to say, in 2022, lost your story, man, I'd stop watching my diet. I'd stop watching, you know, exercising. I wasn't running like I should be. I wasn't lifting like I should be. Where I was all going with this, and I don't know if your story is the same, but now looking back, I can actually look back, Dustin, and I can see markers that if I would have been watching, I could see, that should have, there was a red flag that was waving saying, "Hey, bro, hey, look," but
absolutely. And can I tell you something? The one of the major red flags that was waving in front of me that I was ignoring was my wife. My wife looking at me saying, "You're doing too much. You're going too hard. You've got too much going on. You need to slow down." But I'm like, no, I got this. I got a team. Like, we are making stuff happen. This is the glory of God. And that was it. Like, I'm teaching, I'm preaching, I'm speaking, I'm engaging my community with leadership development and and we use a John Maxwell's material. And so it's an easy faith-based thing. I'm doing all this. This is great. But can I tell you, when I hit my wall, Eric, when I came to that point where I had to, like, I either went to God or I was literally going to go meet God physically because it was bad. Yeah. And when I went to God, I said, "God, I'm doing all this for you."
Yeah.
What? And honestly, it was almost like a smack in the face. Like, okay, fine. Yeah, you're doing all this for me, but what are you doing with me?
That's good.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Because the Bible says to abide in me and I will abide in you, and then you will bear much fruit.
That's it.
Yeah. I wasn't abiding. Man, my walk with God was hurting during that time because I would wake up every day and there was a deadline. Mm. A paper had to get done. Something had to be graded. I had to speak somewhere. I had to grade something. I had to talk to something had to get done Sunday through Saturday, 100% all the time. You mentioned something there, that verse of 2 Timothy 4:5. And I want to point this out because this is something important to me, Eric. I know as a pastor, whenever I'm preaching and teaching, especially if I go through the pastoral epistles, oftentimes with the title that's been given to those, we can hear it and be like, "Oh, this is just a pastor." So we see the word minister, like, "Oh, that's for those in the ministry." Well, let's take a step back and let's look at this for just a minute. And let's talk about it for a guy who's not in the ministry. This is Paul writing to a man about God's calling on his life. Yeah. And so he's talking to him and he says, "Fully carry out the ministry God has given you." There's a couple of things I want to point out. The ministry God has given you. Do you know God's calling on your life? And you say, "Well, I'm not called to be a pastor." No, I didn't ask if you're called to be a pastor. I said, "Do you know God's calling? Are you called to be the absolute best plumber, janitor, carpenter, painter, businessman, a podcaster, whatever? Do you know God's calling on your life? If you're married, you're called to be a husband. If you have children, you're called to be a father. There's callings on your life from God. Do you know them? Secondly, are you living them out? Are you trying to fully carry those out to the glory of God?"
Yeah.
Because here was my fault, Eric. I knew, like, my professional calling, if you will, forgive me for making it that way, but pastoring and I love speaking and teaching and all that stuff. And I was diving hard into that, but man, I was neglecting my wife, my kids. I was neglecting the greater matters all for one area. And so, guys, even though you're not in full-time ministry, if you will, as a pastor, missionary, or something of that nature, you have a calling on your life. It's to live that out fully, with mind, body, and spirit. And here's what I learned, Eric. I may have a ton of opportunity in front of me, but the only opportunity I need to take is the one that God gives me. And when I can stay focused only on the ministry God has given me, the calling that God has given me, I'm not going to do more. I'm going to be doing less, but he's going to be accomplishing more through me.
Yeah.
Because I'm focused on him. I'm seeking first the kingdom. I mean, again, we go back to scripture. And so, guys, if you have never sat down and talked with someone to help you articulate or define your identity in Christ or what God's calling on your life is, do that. Because I could teach time management skills. And people always ask me, like, "Hey, you have a great schedule. Like, how do you do time management?" It's like, okay, listen, the only reason my time management works is because it's derived from my purpose in Christ.
Yeah.
And so that you've got to know who you are in Christ, what he's called you to do, and then live your life according to that. And I think that helps out so much.
Yeah. And guys, we have tried to, man, challenge you guys to be reminded, because I know there's some guys, you've listened to the lies of the enemy saying that, "Well, man, I can't serve," or "God has called me." No, God has equipped you. with a ministry. If nothing else, you can go to Matthew 28:19. You are called to make disciples. Now, what that looks like Dustin said, you are called to make disciples. You're called to make disciples. If you're married, a disciple of your bride. We could go deep into that on what God's word says about what we're to present our brides. We are to lead them, make disciples of our families. But I know there are guys out here, well, I'm not married. I don't have kids. Well, hey, there's some young men probably in your church that are spiritual orphans that need somebody in there to pour into their life. So we've all got that ministry that we are called to. But to truly remember that, man, you are called to serve. You are called not to serve not only just people, but first off, to serve the Lord and what he's calling you to do. And, man, making disciples, top priority. Yeah. But what's that look like in your life? Like Dustin was talking about, finding that ministry that God has called you to. And I've always said this to our people at Liberty here in Lula, that, hey, you don't know your calling yet. Well, you find somewhere to serve until you do. Because a lot of times you'll start serving and God will start opening up your eyes to show you. Don't just sit in a chair or a pew waiting on the Lord. The Lord usually calls you to action so he can show you while you're working to show you what your heart's desire is. But so good.
Absolutely.
Because I think that's another thing that can help fight against that depression, man. If I know, like you said, we've talked about identity. I told my Wednesday night class this past week, if I could preach one thing to the church. Now, of course, if I'm preaching to the world, man, I'm preaching the grace of God, salvation, sin. Mm. But if I was just preaching to the church, born again believers that have put their faith in Christ, I told my Wednesday night class, I would probably just preach on identity. Because if we could truly find our identity in Christ and who we are in him, man, that changes everything. Yeah. And I think it helps fight against this depression because I know who I am.
That's what I wanted to toss in there is, how does all this play with our depression conversation? Exactly what you said, our identity. Because our identity, I love this great book, and I highly recommend it. It's called Stop Trying by Pastor Kerry Schmidt. And it's all about this identity concept. And there's three places we could derive identity from. Either the world tells us who we are, we tell us who we are, or God tells us who we are. And when God tells us who we are, we understand it's not an identity we earned. It's an identity he's given.
Yeah.
And so we stop trying to live for an identity, a title, or anything of that nature, and we live from the identity that he has given us. And it will change everything because you're living out God's purpose. Some men may like and enjoy the talking about their emotions, their feelings, their depression and things. Most men I speak to, that's not what's on their Friday night checklist of, emotional conversation with my buddies. However, they're great to have. I think they're important to have from time to time. But a lot of men, I think, find abilities to seek, to be happy or to not experience that extreme depressive state, if you will, because of fulfillment and purpose. Mm. And if you haven't seen what God's purpose is for your life, it's hard to have that, because then you're just kind of haphazardly going through it.
Yeah.
One of the other things about depression that I am learning is that it's something that I don't think ever fully goes away.
I'd agree with that.
I think that, Eric, we have this idea of, well, if you said it, okay. And as pastors, like this is a struggle for men in ministry that may be different than others, but we all struggle in some sense. I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader here. Like, how can I be facing depression? How can I be feeling this? Like we think we're, so, I have this thought that we believe we should experience the joy of the Lord 100% of the time, all the time, no matter what's happening around us. It should just always be there. And if it's not there, then we're dirty, rotten sinners and we're just unworthy of God's grace. And I can't believe that we're even still exist on this earth. And that's so now, because you have negative thoughts or because you are sad or upset, then you start beating yourself up for being sad and upset, and you're creating this vicious cycle. Well, the first thing I want to tell you is, guys, you're not perfect.
Mm.
I don't care what Instagram filter you're using. You're not perfect. And you're not Jesus. Stop trying to be. Being like Jesus is one thing, but trying to be Jesus, that's another. You are going to experience anger, sadness, great joy, great depression. You're going to experience melancholy, where there's some days, I wake up, there's some days I'm like, man, okay, I'm not excited about anything. I'm not upset about anything. I'm just kind of existing. But you know what, though? You got to take this consideration. There's a couple things that play into that. Number one, how's your sleep?
Yeah.
How's your sleep patterns? How's your nutrition?
Yeah.
Man, Eric, can I tell you, I grew up in the South, brother. And so if you've got an audience in the South, I think they'll relate to this statement. Yeah. All right? When people started talking to me about the food I was eating, telling me my grandma's biscuits and gravy wasn't good for me. Yeah. First off, I called them a heretic because my grandma's biscuits and gravy are the best, just so we're clear. And sweet tea. Mm-hmm. Sweet tea, all that sugar, it's not good for you. But
y'all got that ungodly unsweet tea up there in Connecticut, right?
Brother, they don't call it unsweet tea. They call it iced tea. They try to trick you. You go to the restaurant, you're like, hey, y'all have tea? Like, yeah, we have iced tea. Oh, it sounds good. Give me a cup of iced tea. Mm. And you get it, and it's disgusting. It's brown leaf.
Blasphemy.
It is. It's heresy. And I don't understand how it still exists. I'm waiting for God to smite it. But, I'll put it in my prayer list. But nonetheless, when they tell you that this food and these various things you grow up on, it's not good. And I know I've heard some things in the last 6 months, and I heard it from one guy. I won't mention his name because I can't fully support everything he says. But I've heard some things he says. I'm like, you dirty, rotten hippie. Like, what are you talking about? I'll bring up one of the things. And I bring this up as something to take consideration for your diet, your exercise, just for your whole life in general. He talked about something called grounding. And he said, getting connected to the earth. I'm like, you hippie. Like, what are you talking? I am not going out here. And then I did a couple things. Because number one, if you hear somebody say something online, even me, you better go do some research.
Yeah.
Just because it's said online doesn't make it true. And that's a quote from Abraham Lincoln. So whenever you have those statements, go research them. So I did. I looked up grounding, connecting to earth, or whatever. National Institute of Health had done studies on this, and there has been proof of an electron ion discharge, whatever, from the human body when it is connected to the earth with no shoes, right? No shoes, not on concrete or asphalt, on the ground. And then NASA uses personal electromagnetic field mats and grounding as a means of helping get astronauts' bodies reaccustomed quicker to Earth's atmosphere and the magnetic forces and things that they haven't been experiencing since they've been in space. And I'm like, okay, wait, well, all right, fine. Science, whatever. What's the biblical worldview here?
Mm-hmm.
God created the Earth. He created the Earth's magnetic field. He created me. What did God not create? Shoes.
Mm.
It's no reason for us to completely and utterly dismiss something just because it sounds like, forgive me, hippie mumbo jumbo, without taking a biblical worldview on it. And then, guys, do this. Try it.
Yeah.
Try it and see if it works. Once you get your biblical worldview set, and it goes back to the nutrition, the things God made for us, guys, taking care of our body impacts our mind so much. We like to think we're highly evolved. But let me tell you, it's not wrong for us to say that we are impacted by the chemicals and the different things in our bodies and how stuff gets methylated from our nutrition into our brains. Because why? That's how God made us. Mm. Just because there's science behind it doesn't dismiss the fact there is a creator God that made you that way.
Yeah.
And it's for us to accept that and to, again, steward it properly, because when we see our life as stewardship and worship to God as a whole, that's what changed for me, Eric, so much. And that's again, the book and everything that my life, my rest, my nutrition, my food, my body to keep it healthy, how I love my wife, all these things. These are acts of worship to my creator God, because he gave them all to me.
Yeah. Well, Romans 12 too, right? I love the way the CSB translates that verse, that it says that the way you're treating your temple, because Paul's reminding us that this body that we're in, that's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says, like I said, I love the CSB translation, because it says, when the way you're taking care of your body, that is your true worship, is the way it's translated in the CSB, that is your true worship, the way you're treating this. It's not just the words you speak, but the way you're treating the temple. And just to show, I do follow the podcast. Hey, if y'all go check out Men After God podcast, the last episode, episode 46, Dustin had a great conversation with LeBrent Speed, and they talked a lot about that. So I just listened to that episode this week.
Yeah, he's a men's trans transformational health coach. He's lost 250 pounds. And it was, and let me just tell you how that started. It's a great story. I want to kind of tease it a bit. He was having a conversation with his son who was smoking marijuana. Yeah. And his dad, he's a Christian. And so LeBrent's talking to him and getting on to him about it. He said, "Dad, I smoke a little weed, I get high, but you walk around here and how's all your weight impacting your ability to serve God versus how me getting high every now and then is impacting my ability to serve God?" And he said, right then he lost in every argument he had against his son. And so he did something about it, lost 250 pounds. And that story, I think I got the story right. You could go listen to it's his second time with us. So go listen to his first episode, but it all goes back. It's stewardship. It's stewardship. Guys, if you're walking around 250, 300 pounds, listen, I'm going to say this out of love. You're fat. If you're 5'8 and 250, you're fat. Yeah. If you're 6 foot and 300, I think that's fat. I don't know. I'm 5'8. So that's all I got to go off of here. But if you're fat, you're fat. But don't stay fat. Do something about it.
Yeah.
And people say, like, I've got this issue. I've got that issue. Man, listen, I'm not telling you to go be a bodybuilder, but I'm asking, are you watching what you put in your body? Yeah. Because it's not just impacting your physical health, it is impacting your mental health. Confession time. Put your white collar on, Eric. You ready?
Go ahead.
Just last night, my family was having burgers. All right. Now, I'm a stress eater. So if I've got stuff going on, I'll do it. Okay. We bought the healthy chips, Cape Cod, jalapeno chips. Oh, brother. My wife gets them. We get in the truck and she pops them open. I'm like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have done that. Because I'm just eating. We're talking. I'm eating. I end up having to go take her somewhere. We had to pick up one of our kids doing something. They're in there. She's in there picking them up. I'm just eating. Next thing I know, I ate the whole bag. At least 90% of it.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning. My stomach hurt. My body was inflamed. Like I felt it in I was puffy. I could barely breathe. And the only thing I looked back, I'm like, what did I do? I worked out yesterday. I took my supplements. I was like, I ate well. Oh, no, I did not.
Mm-hmm.
No, I did not. Because for dinner, I had two of grass-fed burgers with cheese and guacamole and with no bun. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing great. But I ate a bag of chips.
Yeah.
And man, and I woke up this morning. It wasn't just my physical body, like my mental health. I was saying, man, I don't even want to do today. Like this is awful. My spirit's impacted. I'm down. Why? Guys, I ate a bag of chips.
Yeah. It's so true though, man. It all affects each other. Spiritual, mental, physical. Since we go into a time of confession, I guess I'll jump in.
Here we go. Good. I got a great caller. Go ahead.
Yeah. So last night, my little girl, my second youngest little girl, we got five. She had her little, they had an art and singing thing at the school. So we went to that. Well, after, of course, we was like, hey, let's go celebrate, get you some ice cream. And we went down where my son works down at the pizza place, just right down below our house, and went down there. And man, I did stay away from the ice cream. But man, I did indulge probably in more pizza than I should have.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
so I love pizza. I'm like you. Yeah. I'm a stress eater, and I wasn't stressed last night. But I'm a junk eater. I was the only child, so I pretty much got whatever I wanted.
Hey, we've got that in common too.
Look at there.
My early 20s were a mess, man. That's a whole other story. But keep going. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, but so this morning. Guys, like I said, just open, transparent. This morning, man, I've been trying to get up. I usually get up every morning at 4 a.m. I spend time in the Word, time in prayer, time in meditation. Then I usually go for a run or work out and get back before we have to get everybody up. That way I've got it all done. I got, you know, before my day starts. But this morning, guess what? Something made me hit that. I got up. I put my phone away. So I had to get up out of bed so I can't just hit the snooze button while I'm laying there. I got up. I reset that alarm. I said, I'm just a little tired this morning. Did it for an hour later, went back to bed. So I missed out on my good time with the Lord and the Word this morning, just being honest. And I hadn't gotten my workout in yet, because once all that happened, it's time to get kids up and it's time to get everybody ready for school. But it all went back to, and like I said, we'll excuse this crap away, Dusty. That's what we do, is, man, we'll make these excuses.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm just a little, my body's telling me I need a little extra rest today.
I'm getting older. I'm just getting older. Now, I'm 36. I can't say. I'm not in my 50s, you know. And, guys, there's things that come with that. But we cannot give excuse to that type of stuff. It's an act of stewardship. And last night, I didn't make the better choice to steward my body for God. I paid for it this morning. And so Eric had his same situation there.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not perfection. That's it, man, Eric.
Come on,
brother.
Go ahead.
It's not perfection. Again, you're not Jesus. You won't be perfect. But the intention is not to be perfect like Jesus, is not to be perfect as Jesus was perfect. It's the intention is to be like Jesus, to be pursuing, to be pushing toward that mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus on your life. And when we're doing that, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to fail. And part of depression is the believing that you're incapable of meeting the mark that you have set for yourself. So you get sad and upset that you're not who you think you should be. And the problem there is you are determining who you should be rather than realizing who God said you were, which is a person with a heart that is desperately wicked and who can know it. It's a person who said you will fall short of the glory of God. There's no questions asked there. It's going to happen. And you're unable to achieve righteousness on your own accord. It's only from Christ.
Yeah.
So you're a dirty, rotten sinner. You're incapable of being perfect and doing everything with 100% consistency in life, and you're going to fail. And if you look at that and say, well, then I shouldn't just try at all. Can I be blunt, Eric?
Go ahead. Yeah. That's what we do.
All right. If you say that, you're an idiot.
Yes.
You're an absolute idiot because there is nothing you've ever done in your life or learned to do where you did not fail and you did not mess up on the way to doing it. Yeah. I'm not a mechanic. I am so far from it. If you see me underneath the hood of my truck, help.
Yeah.
It's not going to go well, but I have to try. This is embarrassing, especially to a bunch of men.
Go ahead.
I changed the brakes on my car one time. And I did it. I got the brakes changed. I put the tire back on. And you know, you got it up there, you tighten it, and then you fully tighten it whenever it goes down, right?
Yep.
I change the brakes, I get in the truck, and I'm driving out, or is my wife's car, I don't know, but I pull out of my driveway, and I go down the road, because I always make sure I test it before they get in it, make sure
definitely.
If somebody's going to die, let it be me, you know, or have a fun accident, either way.
Yeah.
And I go down there, I'm like, man, this is rattling a lot. What's going on? Why is it shaking so much? And I'm thinking through, like, okay, I did the brakes, it does it. Oh, I forgot to fully tighten all the lug nuts. So I'm driving the car and it's rattling because the lug nut was not tight and holding it. So that wheel is just free moving. That's it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you had a Fred Flintstone moment.
Oh, about did. But guess what? Now when I change brakes, let me tell you what I make sure I do every single time. But I only learned that from the failure that took place.
There you go.
You learn from failure, not success. You got to be willing to fail.
That's it, man. And going back, it's not about perfection.
No.
Guys, us following Christ is not us being perfect. He was the only one that would ever be perfect. But it should be about us making progress. I've used this statement a lot. My buddy from SoCon Days, Mickey Fuller, put me on this, but it's progress by degrees. Small changes today can lead to different destinations later. You may not see it today, but I want to tell you, don't give up. I don't know how many guys, man, they get on a kick. They're like, man, I ate good this week. I worked out this week, 5 days this week. And they get on the scale and they go, man, I gained a pound. I didn't see it. Well, what's the use? And they give up. Guys, I want to challenge you. Everything we're talking about today, it matters. Your health matters. I know we don't like to look at it like that. Man, I was raised in a Baptist church in Georgia. There was no teaching on fasting, even though it's all through Scripture. Because why? Yeah. Because why? We like to have our fried chicken potlucks every other Sunday. And this is what I'll say to the pastors out there. And, man, there's so many pastors, especially here in the South, that exactly what you was talking about a little bit earlier ago, they have no right to call out some stuff because they're struggling with gluttony, because they struggle in things that are obvious, because they're overweight, they're out of shape. And listen, I'm not saying this to condemn anyone. Listen, I can still stand. I'm not there. I can still stand to lose a few pounds and to get my temple where it needs to be. But there's so many out there, and man, I've heard it, that these other lifestyles come in. They say, how can you dare call me out in the lifestyle I'm living when I can definitely tell the lifestyle that you're living, that there's proof there, that we're called to be good stewards of everything. Once again, going back, that we're to exercise self-control in everything. In Colossians, he tells us that in everything we do it as we're doing it unto the Lord. And it's not easy, guys. I don't know how many times we take it. It's not easy. It's freaking hard. I tell people all the time, salvation is easy. Man, you come with a childlike faith, put your faith in Christ Jesus, surrender your life to him. But after that, following Jesus is hard. That is why he said in Luke 9:23, that if you're going to follow me, you got to pick up your cross daily. Deny yourself and follow me. That picture of the cross is dying. That picture of cross is excruciating. It's painful. It's hard. And Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, men, it's going to be freaking hard. But one of our sayings here at Men of Valor is men do hard things. It may suck in the moment, but you go over to James and want to say, hey, you're enduring all this because it's going to lead you. Like Dustin was saying, that when you fall down, man, I've had so many brothers that I've talked to over the years, the importance of brotherhood. We could go into that in this, that when I fall down, that I'm coming to help you up. I'm not coming to shame you. We've seen too much of that in the church years where it's we shoot our own, right? They get injured and we shoot them, which our goal should be, man, we want restoration. We want to bring you out. We want to call sin out if sin's there. We call it for what it is. We don't sugarcoat it. We don't just cover it up with a blanket, but we rip the freaking Band-Aid off. And let's say, look, the only way there's going to be true healing, there's going to be a scar there, right? If I get cut today, man, I can put a Band-Aid on it, but if I don't properly keep it clean, it's not going to heal properly. So what we need to do is peel that freaking Band-Aid off, apply the peroxide, apply the stuff that hurts in the moment, but it brings healing. And guess what? I've got scars all over my arms, my legs, where I've had accidents over the past. They're reminders for me of that moment.
That's it.
But there was healing involved. So guys, man.
Man, it's so good.
You need to rip the Band-Aid off in some area of your life, whether it be that diet, that exercise, because we know it's a struggle. I struggle with my diet. I like to work out. Working out's not a struggle for me, Dustin. I like to run. People think I'm crazy because I like to run. I enjoy running. That's one of the things mentally that helps me. That's my time just to go, ah. But now my diet is another story. It's a struggle, and it's hard. Is.
And you know what can make it easier? And you're going back to the topic of depression, we go back to that isolation. And so you hear me make statements, guys, and I speak strongly, especially when I'm talking to men, because men, we need to get hit in the face with stuff. I don't want stuff sugarcoated. Don't dance around the issue. Tell me like it is. All right. And then let's talk about it. If you hear, you know, statements, you're an idiot or that you're fat or this, and you're like, oh, I'm offended. Like, all right, cool. Well, get offended and then do something about it, but you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it alone. You know, Eric's here talking about his diet being bad. And, you know, I've got my own issues with my diet. I just confessed to my it tasted so good. So good. But if I had an accountability partner, if I've got someone I've got to talk to. In fact, so my wife, she was talking last night after she saw how many chips I ate. And she's been talking about doing this, like, hey, why don't we do like a 30-day clean eating thing? I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You can do that. That sounds great for you. I'm happy. Yeah. And after I woke up this morning, I was a little more receptive maybe we should. But what's happening there? Now I'm going with my wife, and I think that's great if your wife is a part of this journey for you. But even better, grab some other men that are going to call you out and like, hey, you said you're eating clean this week. Did you? No. Why not? What are you going to do about it? How can I come alongside you and help? Do I need to come to your house for dinner and make sure you don't eat that? Like, guys, let's get involved. You mentioned discipleship earlier and when we were talking. We have relegated discipleship to a program in a church, and that is not discipleship. Amen. That is an opportunity to create a relationship founded upon what we believe, why we believe it, that continues forward outside of a room, a classroom, a one-on-one meeting, because discipleship, all right, we believe that Jesus was, we're going to say, the greatest discipler. I mean, he really got it started. Yep. And what did he do? He didn't get a 12-week program and say, okay, you're good. Congrats, there's a certificate. He said, follow me, come with me, live life with me. As we've got to be willing to open up our lives to other people and to be around them. And as pastors, Eric, I know about you, like that can be hard sometimes.
Yeah.
And man, I think we isolate ourselves because we start to feel guilt and shame because we don't like to be transparent and vulnerable and admit our failures and stuff. But when I view myself as a dirty, rotten sinner who's saved by the grace of God, who's not perfect, then I can happily tell someone, hey, I ate a bag of chips last night. My bad. It was wrong. But you know what I did this morning? I got up and I did not want to. I did not want to. I'm like you, Eric. I slept in late this morning.
Yeah.
And then I had to, but I had to get my kids ready. And when my kids leave, that's when I go to the gym normally.
Yeah.
And I'm dressed and ready, but I had a meeting coming up. I was only going to get this much time in the gym compared to this much that I wanted. And you know what I was telling myself, like, I'll just do it tomorrow. I'm just not going to go. I'll just do it tomorrow. And I thought, you know, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. 'Cause tomorrow I've got this and that. And like, all right, let's go. And I went and I skipped out on like three sets. It was three exercises I was going to do.
Yeah.
But you know what I didn't skip out on? The other four that I knocked out.
Yeah.
I didn't get as much as I wanted. I didn't do it as perfect as I wanted, but I did it.
Yeah.
I'm not bragging on myself. Plenty of times I have pushed it off, but what I'm telling you guys is just do it. Just do something. Take one step forward and get a group of people around you that can support you. That was what I loved about SoulCon, Eric, was that we were able to do it together. And you know, I did an online challenge. We did a SoulCon group here at our church once, and that was really good as a life group. And I'm sure it sounds like you and I are actually working on some similar stuff. We need to talk about that. but that's always great things to find guys around you, because that will help with your mental health. Because guys, if you look at another man and just say, "Hey man, I'm struggling with some stuff." You know what? If they're honest, if that man is honest, you know what he's going to say? Me too.
Yeah.
And now you can help each other. You can disciple one another and grow closer to the Lord, be a better men after God, men of valor for your family, your church and community.
Yep. Man, such good stuff. So guys, kind of wrapping up, man, just some stuff as Dustin was talking, I couldn't write some stuff. The thoughts just coming to mind. Number one, I want to say, and Dustin, you can be thinking about, man, some last thoughts for guys in this depression to kind of close us up today, but just some thoughts on everything that Dustin just said. Number one, listen to me, man. If you are waiting on the perfect time to start, it will never come. If you're waiting on the perfect time to start getting your diet right, to start exercising, to start getting in the Word of God, maybe you're not doing that like you need to be. If you're waiting for the perfect time to start, it will never come. There will always be something to come up. You have to be intentional. You have to, put some other things aside. If it's important to you, you will make time for it. Discipleship is not a class. It's a lifestyle. Discipleship, that's what Jesus done. He lived life with those men that he had. So remember that if you went to a class, you got a certificate, praise God, you went to a class, got a certificate, but that does not make you a disciple of Jesus. Okay. Being a disciple of Jesus, your life should show it. And just the last thing we'll say, then we'll just hit it back to Dustin for some last thoughts. If anything is sugar coated, it's not good for you. Hey, if it's sugar coated, that's coming to the Word of God. That's coming to your donut. Okay. That's coming to everything. If it's sugar coated, it is not good for you spiritually, mentally, or physically. So go ahead, trash it. Trash it. If you're listening to some online preaching, man, there's some good online preaching. I actually listened to Dustin's sermon from last week, just yesterday. There's some great stuff, some good content. But praise, I want to tell you, there's a lot of preachers out there that you can go watch and listen to, guys, that are sugarcoating stuff, that is false teaching. Bible teaches us about it. I want to tell you, if you're listening to some of that garbage, man, get rid of it. Get it off your playlist. Get it out of there. Because even though you say, well, hey, he's telling 85% truth, they stand on the Word of God. Can I tell you, the enemy, the Bible says a little leaven, just a little bit, will ruin the whole lump. So it's just a matter of time. So be careful who you listen to and watch. Anything sugar-coated is not good for you. So, Dustin, man, just any last thoughts just to challenge our guys as we're walking, wrapping up today's podcast?
Yeah, man, I'll take just a couple minutes here to share something just near and dear and things of that nature. I am, I don't know if people say it, but as I look at my life, how I teach and the things as I read scripture and stuff like that, a person can accuse me of being extremely pragmatic and not always so much spiritual. And I've recognized that. It hit me hard in the last couple of weeks. Yeah. And I have a conversation I need with a pastor locally who's a very spiritual, godly man. And I see that, and I want to get around him because I need that in my life. With that said, I grew up in an over-spiritualized environment. Any bad thing was an attack from the devil. Any good thing was a gift from God. Now, I know that's true. All good things are a gift from God. I get that. But you know, I've got this health issue and it's just the devil trying to get to me. Maybe it's that donut you picked up the other day. Maybe it's the fact that you haven't worked out in 6 months or since high school. Like, maybe it's not actually a spiritual attack. It's your stupid choices.
Yeah.
When we take the Bible and we only see the spiritual. I'm not discounting the spiritual. I'm not telling you there's not a spiritual. Obviously,
There is, yeah.
But when we take and we only see the spiritual, we are relinquishing our responsibility to take care of the physical. Mm. God takes care of the spiritual.
Yeah.
He will care for all that. I have to take care. Now I understand sovereignty of God, all things, but I do have to accept responsibility for what I do control. Yeah. But God doesn't move my arms and my hands and make me grab the donut or to make me look at something I shouldn't be looking at. That's my choices. And I have to take responsibility for this. But five things I keep in focus so I don't run myself ragged anymore. And these, and I'll be done. I deepen my relationship with Jesus every week. Now that's daily time in the Word. That's daily time in prayer. And that could, and now I'm like Eric, there's some days where I miss it in the mornings. I have to catch up, or I'm just praying throughout the day. Like, as I'm not going to tell you, like, I wake up every morning and I do this. But I set time in my schedule to deepen my relationship with Jesus. Yeah. I devote time to my family, my wife and my kids. I develop myself, and that mental, physical, spiritual. So I work out. I like to eat well. I enjoy reading or listening to audiobooks or podcasts. I want to do something that's going to help develop me because I wanted to be able to do whatever God calls me to do. Fourth thing here, I need to deliver value to others. Mm. Jesus was a servant.
Yeah.
And he served. We need to be serving and delivering value in whatever way you can. And then the last one and fifth one is you need to spend some time doing nothing for Jesus. Mm. Because Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And he is the Lord of the Sabbath. You got to rest. Set your phone down, walk away, look at the sky, take a breath, rest. And it's because that is an act of worship to God. I believe it'll help your mental health, your spiritual health, your physical health so much. Just keeping those five things in check. Eric, thanks so much again for the opportunity to be on here today. It's a wonderful discussion.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for being here, Dustin. Hey, guys, all the content that was mentioned today in the podcast, the books, content, so how you can connect with Dustin, all that will be in the show notes below. So be sure to check that out. One other resource I would love to tell you about that helped me through my time was a book called Leading on Empty by Wayne Cordero. Mm-hmm. Just a great book. God sent it to me right in the middle of my time. And it was recommended to me. And I'll tell you, I'm not a fast reader, but I read this book within 2 days. And man, it was such a tremendous help to me. Whether you're in ministry or not, it's kind of geared towards pastors and ministry. And he tells his story of he hit, but highly recommend that. That's Leading on Empty, another resource. Hey, you guys, make sure you check out Men After God, check out their podcast, check out their website. Hey, check out that book. You can go ahead, I believe, pre-order it in some places. Those links will be in the bottom below, but man, go support that. And Dustin, I can't wait to see you face-to-face, man, and meet you here in August, Lord willing, and just excited to be a part and for us to, man, if God opens up other doors for us to partner together, because our hearts are the same. We want to challenge men to be disciples of Jesus and go make disciples. So,
that's good.
Yep. We love you so much. Hey, like I said, if this has been a help to you, feel free to share it. We'd love for you to share. Give us a rating and review if you do that for us. Hey, and also don't forget that while we're talking about Men of Valor Conference 2024, August 22nd, 23rd, 24th, you can go ahead and go get registered. Find all that info, everything that we talk about, all the resources from Men of Valor Ministries at movministries.org. And we would love to connect with you at our online community. And any way we can be a help to you, I want to stop really quick before we go. If you're a pastor on here, because I know how it is to a pastor, feels like they're on an island by themselves. If you're a pastor on here and man, you're right, maybe in the middle of my story or Dustin's story, I think Dustin would say the same thing. Hey, feel free to reach out to me personally. You can connect
with
me. Richard, you can find us both through our websites and just send us a message. And we'd love to connect with you and minister to you in any way that we can because you're not alone.
No,
not alone. And we'd love to help minister to you. All right, guys. Thank you for joining us today. Hey, as always, keep fighting, win today. And as always, let's go light it up for the King. God bless. We'll talk to you soon.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode and that you will continue to join us on this journey to make disciples of men. Be sure to check out our social media outlets as well as movministries.org for any information. And be sure to join our digital men's community.
Hey guys, we wanted to let you know that Men of Valor Podcast is proud to partner and be a part of the Recovering Fundamentalist Podcast Network. You can find their podcast and many other great podcasts by going to rfpnetwork.org. We would love for you to go and check them out as well. Hey, keep fighting, win today, and as always, go light it up for the King.